Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 664, Dune.
The new one deserves it.
Deserves what?
A real title treatment.
Oh, okay.
You just subconsciously didn't script the title because you're just like, no, this is Dune.
No, I was like, drone didn't really work as well.
Well, you should have said Arrakis. That would have been the... Because Dune is the other name for Arrakis, so that would have been the play.
Yeah.
Like, you could have done that.
I guess if I cared.
There it is.
Like, I guess if I was like, I'm so like, yeah. Like,
well, thanks for coming. I'll take over from here.
I was like, yeah.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. Before we get into it, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of real life.
Yeah.
It's Matt Reedy. Hey.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. You might see him post all the time in the League of Show Shares. And
also the creator of the graphic.
Creator of the chicken graphic for the League of Show Shares. So and does all sorts of wonderful. He created the clip out logo.
We don't really. Okay. Well, our people will send you an invoice for that.
Before we get into everything, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and rate, review, and follow us so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the aforementioned League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: David Rojas, Nick Scott, Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, Tammy Sherman Powers, Heather Sachs, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Chris Valls, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Chris Williams, Tony Dobbish,
ooh,
the Epic Film Guys, Travis Tewitt, Jeff Wildman, Chris Magic Man, Tiffany Schnell, I hope I'm saying that right, Cinema Recall, Binge Movies, Dan Buffa, We Have a Hulk, Colby Mack, The Movie Journey Podcast, Mike and Oscar, Invasion of the Remake, In Session Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, who will be on our Halloween episode, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, and Matt Naglia. So thank you so much for sharing an episode. And of course, finally, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of content. Right now, basically Halloween.
That's all it is.
and
it's a plethora of Halloween stuff.
And you help us out, and that's greatly appreciated. So there's all that. Let's dig in to Snooze.
Oh Lord!
I went into it thinking that
like
was what
this
was
is a beautiful
happen.
Movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it, like, as a screensaver, like 5 stars, but as a story, and I don't like, and so for me, this is 2 in a row from this guy where I'm just like, well, it looks great.
What was the other one?
Blade 2049.
Oh, I think Blade, which I think is better
Blade
than
Blade Runner 2049.
I think it's better than the first one.
Yeah, probably.
Is Wesley Snipes in Blade 2049?
Yeah.
Will they get him back for that one? Okay.
It's a prequel to Blade 2099.
He wants to come back.
Yeah.
But I still just wasn't like super invested in it. And
you didn't fall asleep during the screening, to your credit.
No, it's because the guy next to me kept...
True.
Because I had to pee like three times. But yeah, I just like... Wow. And I tried to read the book when I was younger, and it was just like... This kind of... does nothing for me.
I think
nothing.
So the original version does nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Like I see that.
I
cover,
never
I'm
saw
like,
the
do
other.
You mean
movie.
The David Lynch one?
Yes, the David Lynch one.
I never saw it.
No, I will never see it.
Which is interesting because he basically disowns that movie. But
does
it,
he really?
But it has a huge resurgence of people that love it and say how incredible it is. But I'm pretty sure David Lynch hates that movie.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
Yeah, there's a. I'm going to put in air quotes director's cut that he doesn't have his name on.
Yeah, so he tried to get his name taken.
So it's really an anti-director.
Yeah.
Cut, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the Alan Smithy cut of Dune.
He literally hated it so much he tried to get his name off it. So it's funny when people are just like, yeah, well, the first one's really great. And it's like, it's been really bad for a long time.
I think that this one is going to go the way of the first Blade Runner. And everything that, like, sci-fi related from here on out is going to emulate this. And maybe that's not a good thing. Like, I agree. I think it's a beautiful...
I don't know. Like, I don't know that it's so... Like, Blade Runner looked like nothing that came before it.
That's true.
I don't know that this quite is at that level.
You don't think so?
It's a good-looking movie, yeah. But I don't know that it's Blade Runner good-looking.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that this movie, while it's very familiar because... everyone else stole from it. I mean,
you mean from Dune.
Frank Herbert's
story.
Yeah. Right. His original, his 1965 novel, George Lucas took a lot of things from that for Star Wars. So now I see a lot of people online, ironically, who know that because you know this will happen. People will say like, oh, they totally ripped off Star Wars. You know, if they just don't
they
know.
John, remember when John Carter came out?
Right. Like, and John Carter inspired all those. Exactly.
They stole that from Star Wars. It's like, well.
Right. So I think this one maybe feels more familiar and you're like, yeah, that. But it's another case where it's like, yeah, those other guys, Dune is so.
I mean, he is basically Luke Skywalker.
We could see that. Well,
yeah.
Well,
sort
of. The Force. The voice, Force.
Yes,
Force. I mean, the stuff George Lucas.
The sandworms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like stupid midichlorians.
I know. So there is a lot of stuff that Star Wars copied. So
we don't mention those. Things.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess those are gone now. We don't talk about those.
But I don't know. I mean, so I read the book a long time ago, and I can't honestly even remember if I finished it. But I mean, years and years ago, I read it. I saw the David Lynch movie, which does have. I mean, it's very dated.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah. The sci-fi is very special effects are very dated, and it does have some good things in it, and the story's so great, of course, but yeah, I don't think it's a great movie by any means, but yeah, I mean...
Was it in theaters, or was that like a made-for-TV?
No, that was theaters.
Oh, okay.
There was a made-for-TV miniseries done
for Sci-Fi, right?
Sci-Fi Channel in 2000.
With William Hurt?
Yeah, and all the money went to him, and they had no money left over for effects or costumes.
Yeah, he's
well. They must
top
not
billing.
Had. Okay. They must not had too much money in the first place. If all your money went to William Hurt, that's like
you mean General Thunderbolt Ross.
It's like all your money went to. I'm making this great comedy, but all the money went to Yahoo Sirius.
Well, it's funny. I mean,
we got Carrot Top. That's what we got.
William Hurt is top billed. It's like William Hurt Dune, but it's like he's not Paul, right?
He's Duke Leto, which means you're he's gone sooner than later.
Spoilers, no.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So it's hilarious that it's like, oh, you're going to have the guy headlining that's not hardly
that's
a movie
hilarious.
And it's not the main character. Okay. But yeah, so
they did with
Marlon Brando and Superman.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was, I think it was, dang it. You said Marlon Brando, and I had one, and I just... Oh, it was like... It was a Steven Seagal, Kurt Russell movie where Steven Seagal was top billed, and he dies in the first five
minutes.
How
about this? Drew Barrymore. She's on the poster.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but that was a deliberate
head
fake.
Yeah.
That was
the Janet Leigh.
But I mean, what's the difference? They put William Hurt on there.
I guess the difference
is
it's designed to enhance your experience, not to steal your money.
Oh, okay. It's similar, though.
The one thing I will say...
Well, hold on. I didn't even tell you what I thought.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, I just want to say that Batista, has figured this out. That's one of my takeaways from this
movie.
But he's not the lead, right?
Right.
Like, he has, like, a part in a massive movie, and you're just like, well, good for you.
All
right?
The time.
You know, he's got Guardians.
He's
Bond. He's got this.
Fast and Furious, right? Isn't he one of those bad guys?
No.
He's not in a Fast and Furious movie?
You would think, but they just got the other
guy. I think he may be
less actor from the wrestler turned actor. But he's figured out this supporting presence on screen. And he does have a presence on screen, and he's in this for, I don't know, a cup of coffee. I saw him in this, and I was like, oh, this guy's figured it out.
Blade Runner 2049, smallest glasses ever made. This movie, you didn't know this. He's actually wearing glasses. They're just smaller than the Blade Runner 2049.
They're like, can we get these glasses
how
just
advanced
fit,
the technology
fit
is.
Onto your eyeballs?
Those are called contacts.
Yeah, right.
No, he wears them externally with a little thing. But I loved this movie, seriously. I thought this was incredible. The whole time during the screening that Tom and I were both at.
Were you the one nudging him?
Yeah. Oh. That was the joke. it's 2 hours and a half or 2:40, something like that.
2:35.
Not
that I was counting.
What's the difference? I think it flies by. To me, it flew by. I watched it at home again on HBO Max, and before I looked at the clock, it was an hour and a half again. Whatever it is, this world that they've created, I mean, it just sucks you in. Like, I felt like I was on Arrakis. Like, it just really takes your attention, or at least to me, it holds my attention, and I get sucked into that world, and before I know it, an hour is gone, another hour is gone.
There are moments in this that I thought were just like, let's go. Like, let's pick up the pace a little bit.
I felt like it's like got this dreamy quality that makes it feel like nothing's actually occurring.
I can see
it's not real.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And
it's not real, Tom. This doesn't exist.
Okay. You want to get literal. But
Denis Villeneuve went to Arrakis to film this.
He found the
But it
Arrakis.
Feels like it to me. That's the thing that makes this movie
such
great.
It does look great. Yeah.
When you're there and you see it and he sets up, he does these establishing shots, right? Which, of course, have a lot of CG, but it doesn't look like it.
That was one of the things I did notice is like when he's going over the mining town, none of that felt.
It's you're CG, up in the sky and there's clouds
but
and
it did
water.
Feel you could see the textures
and mountains,
and you could feel yeah
right?
So I thought that was really who was the DP on this because it's not Roger Deakins.
No, it's the guy that did Rogue One in the Batman. I'm blanking on his
I'm with
name
you.
Now
okay.
But he's incredible because when Oscar Isaac and Timothy Chalamet are doing their walk and talk on the beach, the color scheme looks a lot like Rogue One when Ben Mendelsohn's like walking
that.
Along and
yeah.
Anyway, so I thought the movie looked incredible, like you guys all said, but the story, the characters, I thought the performances were top-notch. This movie did it. Like, I've been saying that it would be criminal if they didn't make a part two after making a movie this good.
I think this is the thing, and I don't know if that's really a spoiler because it says part one at the credits, but this is a very good half movie. It's a half movie.
That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah, like, I mean,
did they say that they weren't
they
doing?
They just end. You know,
it's not greenlit.
It's
yet.
Not greenlit.
Are you
yet.
Serious?
Yeah. Nope. They should have shot them back to back. But I
oh dang,
think,
yeah,
I
nothing's
guess...
even shot for it. A movie that leads like
yeah.
I don't. How do you spend that much money and then if they do greenlight it, which I'm pretty positive they will, they got to redo everything instead of like just picking
that's
up.
Silly.
Well, there may have been two factors. I'm guessing was COVID in play when they were filming this, or was
I don't
was
think
that
so.
Okay. The other thing I can think of was his Blade Runner sequel didn't do as well as studio probably hoped. So maybe
but Blade Runner is a movie, not a half. You know, like that's the thing.
Right,
I
but
can't
I'm just saying. Well, maybe they were like, well, if this does better than Blade Runner, then we'll okay the second half. Yeah. But that seems kind of short-sighted anyway, because now you're just giving everybody half a product.
Well, I think a lot of people think this is marketing. If you want part two, show up to the theater. Ticket sales, stream it on HBO Max. Like a lot of people think because
that's a gamble.
Well, but I mean, the movie, I think. Is so good and it's critically so well
they
received.
They probably also don't want people to sit there and go, well, I'll wait for the second
that's
one and watch them both.
That's that what I'm sense. Saying. Like,
oh, well, yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
They
in
need
the same
people
way,
to see
like,
part one.
Because, like, people do that with TV shows now and it can screw up the figuring
right.
out if it's
I
worth
do
it.
It.
I'll be like,
band, yeah.
Like, there's one, there's a true crime one that's on Hulu and I was like, oh, I remember this story on Dateline, but, like, it'd be neat to find out more about it. And I was like, oh, 9 episodes and only the first one's out? Okay.
Right.
I'll be back in 8 weeks.
I did that with The Sinner. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not watching this week to week. How many episodes I got? Oh, a full season. Done.
Which sucks because it's like, well, then it probably doesn't get picked up because
yeah,
everyone
so, like,
else did that.
If I don't watch the show and it doesn't get picked up, like then this guy's not going to kill another person. And I don't get a second season. Like,
didn't they do that with You, though? Like, that's not...
Not
that's,
with
so,
me.
That's, but not you personally.
So You began as a Lifetime show where nobody... gave it
and then Netflix picked
and
it
then,
up
and then Netflix was
how
like
how many seasons did it go though
well they just
well,
put out
three.
Its third
but is the is our seasons two and three Netflix
correct
okay.
Netflix basically just bought the rights to stream it. And then the show that nobody cared about on Lifetime was, I think it was Lifetime, was a huge hit for Netflix. And Lifetime had already canceled it.
Okay.
And then they were like, well, we'll continue it, which is why, like, they cuss in seasons 2 and 3 and they don't cuss in season 1.
That's pretty good.
But
and he keeps getting phone calls from a princess of, like, Colombia. And then it's like there's this whole thing.
Can we please get, like, the princess, the Christmas prince or whatever crossover with you?
They probably wanted to. But that shows you how important marketing is, because you've got the same show and where you land and how they market it is a huge difference. So,
I mean, Cobra Kai.
Right.
Cobra Kai was on YouTube and nobody cared. I bought Cobra Kai on Vudu for the first 2 seasons for $5.
Now they're coming up to
because
4?
I was like, "Oh, I've heard this is good." And I'll throw $5 at that and watch it, because I'm like, I'm never going to give YouTube $10 a
right,
month to
right,
watch
right,
Cobra
yeah.
Kai.
No one wants YouTube.
And then it was
live.
Like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah. You know, I only watched the 3rd season, and I was surprised. I didn't realize it was kind of more of a comedy, sort of.
It's
kind of. I mean, it's weird.
Cobra Kai is really weird in that, like, I really enjoy it, and I also recognize that it's not very good.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't understand why it still works as well as it does.
Did you like The Karate Kid, though?
Yeah, at the time, like, they were fine. Like,
but if they bring in Hilary Swank to that show,
I keep waiting, man. Especially when Netflix canceled her astronaut show, I was like, "This is just long game, man."
She's
putting her on Cobra Kai.
Well, they brought back pretty much everybody else.
I mean,
still alive, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she's about all that's left.
She's the last one, I guess. Is what's her name on there?
I need more to go on.
The girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elizabeth Shue. She was in one episode.
All right, close enough.
Yeah, I think she was in a little bit.
She's
in a couple. She had a small story arc,
okay.
But yeah. But she's been back. Hmm.
So, Matt, you are someone that has read the book, remembers the book,
all
and
of
loves
them.
The book.
All
of them?
I love
all
the book. Yes, absolutely.
So how are you not still somewhere reading them for so long?
So what's your take on this?
You know, it's very good. You know, like I said, it's the only thing frustrating to me is that here we go and it stops. You know what I mean? So
but I think they did it as organically as they possibly could, being half the
well,
movie.
Well, and I had to think about it. I had to think about where I would have stopped it if you had to break it. There's really not a good spot.
Right.
So, it's about the point where he did is about as good as you're going to get.
As you could do. Right.
I think with the part where I was kind of bamboozled was I actually watched the trailers for this, and they show clips that come from scenes further on, but it turns out in the movie those were part of his future
dreams,
premonition.
Ah,
so
yeah.
I thought the movie was going to go further into the story than it
did. Does the break fall at a halfway point in the book?
Well, they should have continued it just a little bit more, because once he joins on with them, then there's kind of like a 2-year time period of them kind of doing guerrilla warfare. So then that could have done a good, okay, it's been 2 years of this, now let's jump to this. So, I don't know, they ended it just a little soon, but, I mean, how much longer were they going
to
go, really?
It's got to be a hard decision to make. But, you know, I think you still get a lot of movie, even though I know that it maybe isn't as action-packed. Like, part two, Villeneuve even says, like, part two is going to be insanely action-packed, right? So, like, a lot of that stuff, I mean, from reading the book, is there a lot more?
Sure, yeah. I mean, but a lot of it still, and again, the books aren't action. It's a lot of intrigue and, you know, backstabbing and
political machinations.
Right, exactly.
Ooh,
yeah,
good word.
But as far as compared to the first half, though, there was going to be more battles.
Right.
More
yes. Yeah.
Of that stuff.
And then there's still plenty of characters in the book they haven't brought in yet. You know, it's. I think they haven't even cast them yet. So that's
John
kind
Cena.
Of interesting.
And
there we go.
No, please, no. So I guess let's get into the plot for people that have never seen a Dune movie or read a Dune book.
I'm going to try my best.
That's what we got Matt here.
Yeah,
for.
I know.
Please chime in anytime.
There's a royal family that consists of Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, and Timothy Chalamet. That's his name. Who's the
call
kid?
Him Tim Chad if you want.
Who is the other? Who's the kid that was in Room?
Jacob Tremblay.
Thank you. I can like those two names. I flip them all the time, but it's
Timothy Chalamet.
Have those two actors been in the same room at
the
same time?
I don't think so.
The same person, huh?
See, that's a good point.
They should get Tremblay to play one of the Oompa Loompas in Timmy's.
He just won. Just do what they did with the Tim Burton.
Deep Roy.
Just keep copying.
Well, that's right. But yeah, I mean, he should play the Oompa Loompas. It'd be great.
Are they
deep
remaking
fake
that?
Roy.
Right?
Are they remaking that for real?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're doing like a prequel.
Well, no. They're creating
a
prequel.
It's a prequel. They're already filming it.
Jesus.
It's a bad idea.
Who's directing it?
Oh, I
okay.
I don't know.
So it's nobody important.
Well, I can't say that, but I don't. It's someone that probably does musicals, I would guess.
Oh, is
you
it
should
a
look up the picture they released of Chalamet. How do you pronounce his last name?
Chalamet.
Of him in the costume, it looks just like Grover's costume.
Gonzo.
Or Gonzo's. I'm sorry, not Grover. Gonzo's costume from Muppet Christmas Carol.
Here's
and it's almost identical.
Here's the thing that's hilarious about that before we get back into Dune, actually. It's like, you know, on The Simpsons, how they all wear the same clothes, Family Guy, you know, cartoon characters wear the same things. So it's like, yeah, Willy Wonka as an adult, played by Gene Wilder, wears that coat and a top hat and all this. And then you see young Willy Wonka, Timothée Chalamet. It's a different color, but it's like, yeah, that's his thing. He's always just worn this coat, this top
hat. Give me the origin
like,
of the coat and top
he
hat.
He has a uniform.
Like,
he's a
like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like, it's been 40 years, and he's still wearing this, like,
stupid fedora.
But it's hilarious. I mean, at least
although if you look at pictures of, like, your grandparents, they kind of do.
Yeah.
There are definitely articles of clothing that are
consistent. But it's like, that is such a specific outfit with the top hat and this coat that's a different, like, slightly different red color, but it's cut the same way. It's like, yeah, he just found this exact.
He just likes that cut.
He's like Steve Jobs. Yeah.
There we go.
He's just going to. He's just
got a
black,
whole closet full of them.
Just black turtlenecks
that's
the whole
good.
Time.
And if it were a black outfit, yes. But
yeah,
no,
right,
it's like
right.
burgundy and a brown top hat.
Well, if you owned a candy factory, black is your purple.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, and it's directed by Paul King.
There you go. Paddington.
Paddington.
Wow. Okay. So people are mad at him because he isn't doing Paddington 3 because he's doing
this
Wonka prequel. Yeah.
Wonka Land.
And 1 and 2, people say, are some of the best movies of all time.
Well, it's, I think I wouldn't go that far. They are definitely good movies.
I would say they're great movies. They say that. Yeah, they're like 100% Rotten Tomatoes. One guy gave a negative review.
Yeah,
someone has 99.9%.
Was it you?
Yeah, I'm just like
you're the new.
I've never seen
Marmalade.
I've never seen the Paddington movies. What makes them so beloved?
I think. I mean, I've watched the first one with the kid, and it's a very well done movie,
right?
I think they're just so wholesome. People
I think wholesome
how,
is probably the best way to describe
like,
it,
like in a good way. Like they're just feel good. Like I think The Greatest Showman is one of those where it's like. You just can't help but to smile and feel good during The Greatest Showman. I mean, if you like musicals, that's a feel-good.
Don't point at me. Point at Tom.
If you like musicals was the point.
But see, it's an if for you.
Yeah,
I like musicals.
Yeah. So I think that people just love that. I mean, Brad Hyland's probably going to write a whole manifesto. Because
he does love those movies.
He does. Yeah, he makes it known. So like he can explain it better to you. But
They also kind of look like if Wes Anderson made kid movies.
Well, he did. I mean, Fantastic.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
But that's also a good point, though. He does have that like aesthetic.
Yeah, that kind of toy box.
Yeah,
you know, everything's kind of just in its right place.
Yeah.
Well,
let's cut this right here. This is part one of Real Spoilers Dune. Stay tuned in a year for part two.
This is an Avengers episode. So there is a
House Atreides.
That's this main family, and they have been gifted this. Other colony, I guess. Is that what I'm... Or
planet,
it's a mining planet.
Yes.
Mining planet for
it's that sci-fi
spice.
Thing where planets don't have any different... like different topology,
right?
Like,
it's all desert.
Like, oh, you're a desert planet. You're a water planet.
Right.
You're
That's very Star Wars, right?
And it's like there's only one ethnicity per planet... There's only one culture per planet.
Right. It is very.
And again, it's very Dune.
What do you mean?
Tatooine,
the Star Wars thing. Yeah,
Tatooine
sure.
is Arrakis. That's
right. So, if I'm right here,
so the Emperor, is it the intergalactic Emperor?
Yeah,
sounds right. That's what I'm saying. This came first. So he has gifted this house, this very powerful house.
Right.
I don't. Spoilers. Second movie. Paul's dad's a sandworm.
And then you didn't think you liked trade federation talk.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
just wait.
Politics. And that's fine.
Where do you meet Dar Dar Jinx? You are in for a treat.
Barth Bader.
Yes, it's a hoot.
So the Emperor is like, yeah, Arrakis has some important stuff going on there. This spice thing is how we do intergalactic travel, and it's the most important substance in the entire universe.
And it will also get you whacked out of your mouth.
Correct.
Actually, that's exactly what it does.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the point. Because, sorry to get nerd here.
Do it. It's what we brought you in for.
In the world of these books, there's not any height. I don't know if you noticed in the movie, there's not like supercomputers or anything. They have to use you know, more mental capacity for these kind of things.
And those so mentats are the people.
That's what
that,
yeah, they're human computers, yeah, basically. So,
and that's what Timothy Chalamet
is. So are they literally computers, or are they have autism?
It's more like that. Okay. Well, it's more through training and then stuff like that.
And
because
they're supernaturally.
This thing takes place like year 10,000. Yeah. So it's like humanity's moved on from, they had AI doing everything, and then there was kind of like a Skynet type thing. So then, now we've got to move away from that. So
James
now,
oh, they copy James Cameron,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's why you don't see a lot of like high technology stuff in this.
Gotcha.
So why that spice is so important.
Yeah, and so they're like, oh, we're going to send this really powerful guy that we're a little bit worried about to this most important planet that everyone's going to want to come kill him and take the stuff from.
Right.
He'll be fine.
It'll be all just fine.
And that's what we basically come to find out, is the Emperor's like, yeah, these Atreides are getting a little too powerful. We'll let them go
and
chill on.
Is that Stellan Skarsgård?
No, he's the Harkonnens.
Okay.
And they're the ones that have been in charge of the spice. So the Emperor is basically like, yeah, we're giving your whole thing.
Do we see the Emperor at all?
So he took it from Exxon and he gave it to Shell.
Yeah, right. Quick trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically they're setting them up, as we find out, spoilers, very early on in this movie.
Yes.
They want them to fail, and the Harkonnens are in on it.
Yes. So you've got I like the scene with Oscar Isaac and Javier Bardem. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was where Javier Bardem is in charge of, is the leader of this other, like...
The Fremens.
Subtle. Yeah, right. And I do like where he spits on the floor, and everybody's like, hey, hey, hey! And Jason Momoa...
It's the best spitting scene since...
yep, let's see where this is going to go.
Since Brokeback Mountain.
That's pretty good. But yeah, so they... Oscar Isaac, there's no point in this where you think Oscar Isaac is nefarious.
No.
Right?
He is a fair and just ruler. Like,
yes.
This is a good dude. We're so good. This conversation between him and Paul, I love this. I love the writing. Is it just like this in the book where he basically is like, you know, I didn't want this either, you know, or like, you know, I inherited this from my father. And he says, even if you end up not wanting this, he's like, you're still my son. You're still the most important thing to me, which is amazing, because in these movies, all you ever get is, you're going to take over the family business. You're going to be the next ruler. And it's,
you need to suck it up.
It's actually kind of nice, because he's really the only person in Paul's life not pushing him one way or the other. You know, because his mother's in with, I'm sure you're going to get to this part, Bene Gesserit, which is a kind of religious sect. And they've, through generations of, you know, eugenics or whatever, breeding, they're trying to get to a what they call the Kwisatz Haderach, which is like they're going to be their
give a dog a bone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, in
is
a
he
sense,
kind of like the Messiah, though?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. This is a weird story where he's kind of two messiahs, because he's that one, but he's also he's also the Messiah for the Fremen,
which
is a completely separate
which
thing.
Which is called, so like, what, the Kwisatz?
No, Kwisatz Haderach is the one for the Bene Gesserit.
Oh, yeah, what's theirs called?
They don't have a name for it.
Oh, they don't? Okay. No. But so, yeah, so Paul is this kid who's just like, I don't even know if I want to, you know, rule Caladan that they're on in the beginning, like their family's other world or whatever. And then now he's got this other huge thing going on in Arrakis.
First world problems.
Turns out he's the Queef Tesseract.
And so, you know, he's like, I don't even know if I want this. But the cool thing is his dad, Oscar Isaac,
says
who
with
plays
great
Duke
power
Leto,
comes great responsibility.
Is, no, he's just like, it's cool. You'll figure it out. And it's
you do you, boo.
Yeah. I love that scene, though. I think we don't get enough of that. And
I would agree with that.
It was very good.
Yeah.
I think... If they had cast lesser people, this is going to fail. But because you have like top tier actors doing these parts, like it does work. I would agree with
like,
that. It does
here's
work.
The cast of this movie. If you haven't seen the poster with 80 people, I mean they got the cast, but it's not just stunt casting. I think everyone is A game in this. Like their performances are great. Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, Sharon Duncan Brewster, Chen Chang, Dave Bautista, David Dalmachian, Zendaya, Charlotte Rampling. Like, the list goes on
George
and on
Kennedy,
and on.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah.
No, wait, sorry. That's
a cast
airport.
Of thousands.
That's airport.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
It's a really good cast.
And so in the beginning, you've seen this in the trailers if you watched them, because they put this in a ton of the marketing, was Charlotte Rampling is what do they call her? Like a mother superior? Or
basically.
What?
She's yeah, like basically. The head of that.
Yeah,
basically.
Of the Bene Gesserit. Yeah,
right, right.
She's the queen basically. Queef.
and she does this. Charlotte Rampling is incredible in this. I think she's so intimidating
which,
in
I think
that
is
role.
Even hard to do. She's given a difficult task because she has to do that with the veil on.
Yeah.
So which I think is even harder.
She's like a witch.
Can't,
yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. It really, she, but it's like this mysterious evil in the way that they light this movie, you know, it's very,
right.
You know, the atmosphere is very tense and daunting when he's doing this test. And I think that she's phenomenal in it. And you don't quite know
test
where.
That I'm not really sure what the hell it did.
Well, it's supposed to test his resolve.
Oh, when they put his hand in the box?
Yeah,
he
put his in the pain box, and she's got the they call it the Gamjabar. It's that little poison needle up to his
so
neck.
So what is
they show him, he
what's
pictures
happen
his,
to the needle?
His hand going on fire in the sun of Arrakis. Like, he's feeling the pain
son
of his
son of
hand.
Arrakis.
Yeah, it's basically, you flinch, and then I'll kill you.
Is so that how, what it, okay.
So
okay.
She's basically giving him that pain, and so if he reacts like a dog trying to gnaw its, or a bear in a trap,
sure,
or whatever,
sure.
And like, tries to get out, then he is not fit to wield, I guess, the power he's been given.
But he fights it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the reason why she's putting him through this is he's not even supposed to be there.
Right.
She
not
had ordered
supposed to be here today.
She had ordered the mom to have girls only, and then she defied that and had a boy. Yeah.
The Bene Gesserit have 100% control over every part of their body.
Okay.
How everything works. So, it's, I mean...
That is legitimately my body, my choice.
But I mean... But she chose... Be in this religion. I guess biology works different. Because, like,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess they don't explain how you how you determine.
Well, she could probably control, like, if she has 100% control and knows she's going to have a male,
just keep
she would
rejecting
just
rejecting that sperm.
Yeah, that's, exactly. Yeah. That's,
not today.
So,
not
so yeah,
for you.
They order her because. Because the Bene Gesserit want to orchestrate this super powerful marriage between the houses, and they wanted Lady Jessica, Rebecca Ferguson's daughter.
Why do they
to
have...
marry Stellan Skarsgård's son?
Oh,
or nephew,
his nephew.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the one they haven't introduced
Sting.
Yet.
Oh, I was like,
Sting,
Dave?
Yeah, Sting from the first movie.
Yeah, Sting. Oh, so they want them to marry and have this super crazy powerful whatever. So she threw the whole thing off when Paul. When she skipped over it, and Paul still became the being that she was supposed to have, and so it throws off their plans. But she's like, "Ah, we'll see." And
but then he wins, right? Like that's
one thing I like about the story is they set all this in motion, but then he becomes that person by the end. Then tells them, "Hey, you know what? I'm doing it my way." You know what I mean? So thanks for nothing.
I got you covered. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm doing it this
my
way.
And I think that moment's fantastic.
Kids.
It's so such a tense moment where, I mean, obviously Paul's going to get out of it. There's a movie to go. But you see it, and it's supposed to be this incredibly hard test. He's in pain. And then he just stops and stares at her. And Hans Zimmer's score is incredible.
It is pretty great.
This is the best thing he's ever done. It's such.
Oh, you think so?
Well, that's a bold statement.
I think this is incredible.
You didn't like his Justice League score?
So
I'm totally teasing.
Oh,
yeah.
Junkie XL's the original
the
one, right?
He did the Snyder cut.
Isn't Junkie XL? Which one?
Oh, it was Danny Elfman. That was Danny Elfman came in because they were like, we'll put my Batman score
So he's in
there.
Neither of them. So no, I did not like his.
No, he did Superman. He did Man of Steel.
Okay, but that's a different movie. So anyway, this is incredible, though. I thought it's such a departure. It's not his Christopher Nolan horns. You know, it's not. And I know he's done other stuff. He did Lion King, for God's sake. But he got stuck in this where you were like, oh, that's a Hans Zimmer score, right? Like Christopher Nolan, Hans Zimmer, they do. And, you know. but this is seriously such a great, like the House Atreides song with the bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he made bagpipes hit real hard. And
it was really good.
It's cool. So
it was really good.
He used to be in Korn.
Oh, there you go. So
make a bagpipes cool again.
Yeah.
So
no, they didn't.
No, that's right.
But yeah, there's so many moments, and the score really punches up these scenes, and he just looks at Charlotte Rampling like, nope. Like,
it's
good.
I was actually thinking about Denis Villeneuve.
Dylan, don't call him. There's this YouTube movie reviewer that calls him Denis Villeneuve. That's how he talks.
Villeneuve.
That's what he called him.
But if you look at it, it's interesting to go back and look at his filmography.
Yeah.
And like he has ramped it up as far as like using effects, right? So like I think did he do Enemy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Prisoners?
Yeah.
Sicario?
Yeah, and Arrival.
So Arrival's the one where it starts.
Dude doesn't miss.
It's really hard for him to miss.
He does
miss.
Not. He hasn't.
I would agree with that.
No, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think Enemy is kind of the outlier, because I think it's like one of his first.
Well, yeah, it's like more of an art house movie, but it's incredible.
It's really good. Yeah. But like Arrival's the one where he starts to get into the special effects.
Yeah.
And then obviously Blade Runner was what it was. Yeah. And now this. So
for sci-fi, like this dude with Arrival and Blade Runner and now Dune. It's,
yeah. And it's like you could see a lot of Ridley Scott in those three movies. So I'm just interested to see where he's going to, like, what else can we do? Like, can you raise the bar? Is this your bar? Like, is this where we're staying? Which is fine. Like, if this is where we're staying, I think that's great. But after seeing this, I was like, damn, like that's,
but this, to me, this is top tier sci-fi. Like when I go to watch sci-fi with the ships and the planets and the, you know, the cool dragonfly looking helicopter things. And I mean, everything about this makes me feel like, you know, just like watching Star Wars, right? You escape to another world, you forget everything on Earth, and you're watching all this stuff that Frank Herbert could only dream of in 1965. You know, like this came from his imagination off the pages, and Denis Villeneuve made you feel like it's real.
I do like, wonder what the who was the guy that was going to do this before?
Oh, Jodorowsky?
Yes.
I would love to see that. There's a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune about his crazy vision. And you know that dude
is
awesome. He's out there, but he's awesome.
Because he did it with Morbius, right?
Like Mobius?
Mobius did the storyboards.
That's correct. Yeah. Actually, it's a really, really, really good documentary. I mean, you have to take everything he says with a grain of salt, because there's no way that movie would have ever gotten made. I mean, there's just no way. It would have cost a gazillion dollars. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm going to have this person, that person. I'm going to have Pink Floyd do the score. I'm going to have Rolling Stones do this. There's just no way. He didn't have the authority to hire all
to
those
have
people.
$500 million.
Yeah. But it's incredible, though. I mean, really, his vision is. But I mean, Matt, do you think as far as like representing Herbert's vision from the pages to the screen?
I think so. I mean, everything with books, a lot of that's open to interpretation.
Of course.
You know?
But with you, at least being a huge fan, you were like, this is.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I think the costume designers took some things almost literally, you know, because in these stories, it's kind of a feudal society that people live in. You know what I mean? So you've got these great houses and, you know, it's that kind of thing. So I don't know if you noticed like
the metals, they kind of look
almost looks like suits of armor. And
yeah.
Cause
they
like
say,
that.
Yeah. And they say, you know, like they go for their formal wear is like it looks like a naval dress. You know, whatever you
I also like how some of the stuff looks kind of almost real world. I don't know if you noticed when they first introduced Jason Momoa and he comes in and the flight suit he's wearing looks like something you'd see here.
Yeah,
I mean, there was nothing really quote unquote futuristic about it.
Yeah. And I love the relationships in this movie, though. Like, you really do feel like, you know, you've got this kid, Paul, who's grown up. You have all these people around him. You've got the Josh Brolin as you're waiting for, Joe. And you've got Jason Momoa, and they care about this kid. And
also, Jason Momoa should never shave his face.
Yeah, that's the only thing where you're just like...
He looks weird.
And also, I feel like Oscar Isaac shouldn't either. That beard is a beard.
that is a pretty epic
beard. Right? Like,
that is an epic beard. That is for sure.
When they, like, when he was doing press for his other stuff or whatever, he had shaved.
Did he shave it off or was it, like, shorter?
No, he, like, shaved it for the scenes from A Marriage. I haven't watched it yet. With Jessica Chastain.
Well, also, Moon Knight.
He is the new Moon Knight. Yeah,
that guy is awesome. I'm glad he's doing well because he's a great actor. And if you look at the different roles he takes, he's in so much stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's all over the place.
Yeah, he's doing all the stuff, and it's great work. Okay, so they get to Arrakis.
And everything seems to be going all right for the most part.
But the Harkonnens kind of rigged it against them, right? Like, they broke their equipment.
Their equipment is janky is the best way to describe it. Like, their mining ships are not working correctly. Yeah.
They don't have as many. Like, they...
Yeah.
They
set them up.
Yeah.
Basically. We get a really good action beat here where there's a... one of the mining ships stops working, and then because there are these giant sandworms, if there's any sort of like weird movement on the sand, these sandworms kind of attack, and they do. They are identical to the Sarlacc. Yeah.
Well, like now when this. You see Tremors too, you're like, this is true. Yeah, straight right, Tremors. Right, yes. The whole premise of Tremors is sandworms
jumping on rocks. Like yes, yeah.
The vibrations.
Kevin Bacon has to jump. Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward have to jump on a lot of rocks. Yeah.
But I saw Tremors first without knowing Dune, and I'm like, this is
the same thing.
That's where it comes from.
And the Sarlacc. I mean, the Sarlacc pit looks just like this thing. Oh, yeah. Like it's the same exact thing. So a really good action beat where Oscar Isaac is trying to get all of these people and off the transports and the ships and everything and get them to safety.
And it shows
Paul has this moment of like a flash forward to a possible future. And what I mean by that is he has figured out that what he is seeing is one version of a future because he does it again, but he changes the narrative.
Which I'm guessing could be because he's taking different actions. Maybe it is constantly moving. Do you take it that way that what he's seeing is the visions are changing because things are actually changing? Or
I think most of the visions they show him have in this movie are things that actually do happen. There's a couple exceptions.
But doesn't he say like at one point he's like I thought it was my blood, but it wasn't. Like because
that one was a little confusing.
Okay,
It looks like he's seeing possible futures. And then when the moment comes, he's like, oh, this is going to happen, so I need to go this way instead
of like,
that
here's
way.
The deal. So in the beginning, he says, I see you to Jason Momoa. He said to Duncan Idaho is the character name. He's like, I see you go. But is he seeing a vision from what?
Just the names.
The name?
Yeah.
Can I do a slight aside real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. When long time ago, 18 years ago, when my wife was pregnant with her first child, we're coming up with names, and I, in all dead seriousness, had on the list Duncan Idaho, and she's like, "What, Duncan Idaho?" I was like, "You know, from Dune." She goes, "No, no," and
Tom?
I was dead serious, and she was like, "Nope."
What were yours?
What's that?
What were the two?
We
two
had
pop?
Had a girl. We were gonna name her Addie Prey.
There
from
you go,
Paper Moon.
Yeah.
Oh, see. Well, even better was when you know we had the name we ended up with, and when after he was born, she called into the newspaper to do the birth announcement, and the girl said, oh, I love his name, it's so unique. And she goes, my daughter's name is Alia, named after the character in Dune. And I was just like, what? See, I had something there.
He was like, I married the wrong woman.
That's right.
I mean I named my youngest after a Spider-Man character. So
but when Paul has a vision of Duncan dying, do you think it's the future one where he actually does?
I think it's a contact high from the spice.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination
of
things.
Because
right,
he's
right.
Like, oh my god, they get to Arrakis 3 weeks later. Duncan is going to meet with the Fremen and try to form an alliance based on Leto's orders. And then, you know, Duncan's back and he's like, hey, I'm here. See, I'm alive. But was Paul actually picturing him dying in the future?
He did. Actually, the scene it showed in his vision was the exact same hallway that he got killed in against the elite troops that he
fought. So Paul just doesn't know quite how to tell like time frames and such, but he was picturing.
Right. He had the,
him
he
dying
spot
on Arrakis.
Yeah.
Okay.
So spoiler alert. You know, Momoa is at the.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people in this movie, and a lot of them die.
Yes.
So.
Well, yeah. I think all of them die.
It's a one picture deal.
Oh, no, take that back. There's another spoiler alert. That character, Duncan Idaho, is the only one that's in all six books. He comes back as a clone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. So Momoa's playing the long game here. If this turns into.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll he's got
he's
he's
hoping,
set.
He's hoping for
if
that
this,
six
yeah,
picture
turns
deal.
Into, yeah.
He said pair
Jason
play.
Jason clone Moa.
Yeah.
So basically. The turn happens, right? Like there's this doctor who I did see getting some press is that they didn't whitewash this doctor. Apparently he is like of Asian descent in the book. And
the medical physician.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he's a traitor and he turns on the entire family.
Oh, thank God they made sure that the,
I know.
Well, not defending it, but they had his wife hostage. That's why he did it.
Well,
he wasn't
well,
doing
he was
it.
Told that his wife was held hostage.
Well, she was.
Yeah. She was. Well,
for a little bit.
For a little bit, at least. Yeah, right.
Well, what we find
there's
out.
There's a lot of head cutting off this, in this movie, too, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, this. Who was the Harkonnen, the bad guy? Vladimir Harkonnen, played by Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, the Baron. Yeah.
Baron Harkonnen.
I got to tell you, the makeup is pretty great.
Oh, he's
for a fat suit that looked pretty cool.
He's incredible. But this dude is a bad dude. He is the opposite of Duke Leto.
Yes.
Like, he says he's going to do nice things or whatever, but they're like lying by omission.
He's the epitome of a villain, right?
Yeah, like, but he does not, he takes no prisoners. He kills everyone. He goes back on his word. He is a horrible,
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, he's a horrible ruler. Like, he's just awful. And but Stellan Skarsgård, though, seriously.
Really good.
That portrayal.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
That's a great villain.
He does, like, sometimes he puts on a voice, and the voice works, like, for the size that this guy is, because he's kind of like a, I don't know, like a gelatinous.
He's huge.
He's a gelatinous blob, basically. He is
I mean,
Jesus Christ, he is Jabba the Hutt.
But he
kept thinking Vogon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vogue from Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy. Hitchhiker's
Guide to
the Galaxy, yeah.
The ship that they originally is going to, that blows up the Earth that they escape on, and he's always reading Vogon poetry, and yeah.
I love the way that he moves, too. I mean,
he floats.
Yeah, I'm guessing from the book that's a.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a suit that makes him
so
float.
The way it's lit, it's like, is it Greg Fraser? Is that the DP? I think that's the cinematographer, but it's so darkly lit, and especially in these villainous portions, and they put Stellan Skarsgård like right out of frame or blurry in the background, and it's so ominous with the score and everything, and you see him floating in the background, and you see him glide over to this doctor and slit his throat. Like,
he didn't slit his throat, he cut his head off.
Okay, but like the way he moves is so sinister and creepy.
He moves
and
like
intimidating because
he's
huge.
He moves like a snake.
Yeah, and he floats over to you. It's really good, and that performance is phenomenal.
It is really good. He's really good.
But the doctor, I do like how like he tries to help you know, the Atreides the best he can. He's doing this because he wants to save his wife, you know, and it sucks that, of course, it ends up they die anyway, but, you know, and he screws over this whole family, but he gives Duke Leto the capsule to put in his teeth, so he's like, bite down on this. And,
so you have one shot at this.
Yeah.
And if you can get it, if we can get everybody in this room in one fail swoop, and he does. I will also say the guy that was Polka Dot Man,
David Del Mastro,
is also in this as well. I was like, yeah, this guy's got to figure it out too. Like, they've just figured out the, I don't need to be the star. I just need to be in this movie somehow.
He looks so much like the guy from Barry. Like,
oh, he
David
does
Del Mastro
like,
playing.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know how they didn't get him to be one of the Harkonnen.
That's fair.
I mean, he's just got that look. That's his natural look, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the eyebrows, but he's pale. He's thin. Like,
you're talking about the guy from Barry?
Yeah, the guy from Barry.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird that it's like he's literally playing that guy who's awesome. I can't. He's from Bill and Ted 3. Like,
he is a Bill and Ted.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
He's great.
So the turn happens, and it looks like that we lose everybody. We think that we've, you know, Josh Brolin kind of leads the charge, and he gets blown up.
They don't show it. They don't show.
I guess that's true. They don't show it, but
he'll be in the next movie. They were a little vague on what happens.
Okay.
He escapes.
Was like, well, they killed everybody.
Show me the body.
Show me the body. So Timothée Chalamet and Rebecca Ferguson have to like go out into the desert, and they're just trying to survive out there.
And this is another one of those like lying by omission type things where the Baron says, he promises Charlotte Rampling's character that she says, Lady Jessica has our protection, and therefore Paul also does. And he's like, I will not kill them. And then to his guys, he's like, I won't kill them, but you're going to send them into the desert, and the desert kills everybody.
I didn't kill them. It's not my fault.
Yeah,
they didn't
survive. Technically, I didn't
do
anything. Yeah. It's like I'm punching in the air, and if you happen to run into this,
I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
So Paul practices the voice in the beginning of the movie, which is the force thing, and he doesn't quite have it mastered.
Your pitch ain't right, son.
Yeah, and so when they're on this helicopter with the Harkonnens trying to take them out.
It was a cool scene.
To kill them, and you know, another real tense scene. You know, he uses the voice. He doesn't do it right, and then you see Lady Jessica do the voice, and that is badass.
It was pretty cool.
Kill him. Cut his throat, or cut your own throat.
Cut
or
the ties.
Like,
and do the,
it's really cool
it
the way
cool.
she does that, yeah.
So they are kind of dead to rights with the sandworm, and there's this tech called a thumper, which you can put into the sand, and it will kind of get the sandworms to go the opposite way, right? They will go towards the thumper. So they're saved, and we find out that it's the Freemans that save them, and Javier Bardem is like, you know, they want to kill this kid immediately because they're like, the dead weight, you're in our territory, we don't want you here. And Javier Bardem is like, this kid's kind of cool. Like, his dad was cool, so maybe this kid's cool.
But we have no use for this woman.
Right.
She's too old to bear children, which she is pregnant, we find out.
Correct.
Timmy figures it out, and she's like, how would you know? I've only known a couple weeks, but he this kid.
He Jedi mind tricked.
Yeah, he's pretty powerful. Yeah. He knows this stuff. Right. He says, I had a vision. You're pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and then, but these people, the Fremen's are very, what would you call it? They're not, I'm not trying to say old fashioned, but they're, no, but they're just like, you're, you know, you're a woman, you're useless, you can't bear children. What's the point? You know, they're very
But their women are equal warriors to the men in their society too, though.
But why does he say that about her? Why does he act like she's just a
because she's not?
I don't know. He's just
people,
a jerk, I guess.
He's just, he's okay. So never mind. He's a jerk. The people aren't. So never mind.
She also didn't come up through that culture to
that's
be
what I'm
an
saying.
Equal
yeah.
warrior.
Yeah, true.
So he says that, like,
and he doesn't know. Like, she is badass and proves it here.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But he, I think that it comes down to, if you want to join us, you got to kill or fight our top fighter.
Well, but what happens, though, is they're basically going to kill Lady Jessica.
Right.
And they're like, you know, you're Paul, if you just chill. And she actually gets Javier Bardem dead to rights.
Yes.
So, and he's pretty much the
leader. I do like where he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe we underestimated
you. So then he's like, okay, these people have my protection. They're cool. And the other guy is like, yeah, no.
Right.
I'm not cool with that. And you're not our leader because she bested you.
So so does that mean that she's the leader?
Basically.
All right.
And then he would challenge her or her champion, right?
Yeah, they kind of need them to teach. They have a fighting style called the Weirding Way. I'm doing air quotes as if we can see this on the air.
I do it all the time. Don't feel bad.
So, and that's also part of the force thing, you know, with the voice and things like that. So it's also part of their fighting style. So they... That's why the reason they bring them in, bring her in. They're like, you and Paul can help teach our.
Oh, okay.
Our
but at first, the guy that has the problem with it, I'm trying to look up. It's Babs Oluskanmukun.
That's the actor's name.
Yeah.
When in Universal, ask for Babs.
Yeah. He plays Jamis. We'll call him Jamis.
Jamis works way better.
He's like,
we be Jamis.
We be Jamis.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, no. I'm not taking these outsiders, and they have no purpose. Whatever. Like, I'm not cool with it at all. He's like, I'm going to challenge her or her champion. I guess I don't know if he gives her that out because she's a woman, like, instead of challenging her, but I guess maybe they're by their rule, you can choose it.
I think it's like Game of Thrones. Yeah,
if
exactly.
you watch
yes,
Game of Thrones,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, who's her champion? And then Paul's like, I am. So now he has to, because she bested their leader, so she's the new leader. But you can challenge the leader
whenever
you want to be the guy, which is another thing you see all the time.
Right.
You can challenge the leader and take the spot, and so.
Like Butch Cassidy the Sundance Kid.
Just like Butch Cassidy.
Yeah,
the
there you go.
Kid.
Exactly. So Paul's like, yeah, well, I'm her champion and I'll fight him. So now these two have to fight to the death to be the leader.
I do like that he beats him. It's a good fight. It's well choreographed. Yeah.
I thought Chalamet is really good with the fight choreography.
I was impressed.
Throughout the film.
I was impressed. Yeah. Like, usually he kind of looks like that may not be his go-to.
Yeah.
It may not be the most comfortable in that, but. Yeah. I thought he did a really good job.
He's in pretty good shape in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's a tall, thin guy, but like, he's pretty ripped in this movie. And then you see him doing the sword practice and the fights with Brolin. And
by the way, is Brolin just not as tall as I think he is?
I don't think he is as tall as you think
he
is.
Really short next to
the problem
Man
is,
in those fight scenes.
Is he was Thanos for so long.
Right, yeah.
That
yeah.
you just assume.
But,
like,
even,
oh, yeah,
but even before then, he just seemed like, I don't know.
He was jacked, also, though. I mean, he's pretty wide.
Yeah,
so
but
I think
he's.
That
all, I also think in, like, when you see him in comparison to the kids in the Goonies.
Oh,
like, he's
well,
significantly
yeah, good point, yeah.
older, so like, he's way tall. But you're right, in those in the Goonies, and for sure, he's like, at least he's heads and shoulders above those kids. But I don't think I think he's like 6 foot.
Was
five,
well,
they,
ten.
Five
okay.
ten.
They there made it. Yeah. They did make a joke about that in Deadpool 2. About, well, Cable's not as tall as I thought he was going to be. But I just thought that was because Ryan Reynolds must be really tall.
I think Ryan Reynolds is like 6'2", 6'3".
Okay. All right.
So we should also mention, so the Dr. Liet Kynes,
yeah.
Kynes.
Yeah.
So she's kind of in the middle of both these worlds.
Oh, sure. She walks in both worlds.
Yeah, she represents the Emperor, and she's there to oversee the transition between the Harkonnens and Atreides. But she also is cool with the Fremen and has their abilities, right?
Well,
she's
one of them.
Okay. So
she is one. By the way, they gender swapped her in this movie. It's a guy in the book, but it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
And also, So I'll say it's mother instead of father. That's the mother of Shanti, which is Zendaya's character.
Oh, okay. And we haven't mentioned Zendaya, which you might find interesting.
Because she's barely in
7 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Other than flash forwards, I mean, that's about all you see of her.
Which is interesting to see how after this weekend that will be received, because Zendaya is a popular actor. She's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's doing all the press tours and the marketing.
She's in it for 3 minutes.
Yeah. I think it's seven.
Two of them are visions.
I was going to say she has maybe what? I would say 2 lines of dialogue in this.
If that.
And that's at the very end.
I saw someone count it was 7 minutes, which is, it's less than Drew Barrymore in Scream. So
is it less than Margot Robbie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I don't think so.
No, she had more than that.
She didn't originally.
Well, I mean, this character is more
important.
So she agreed
to take her shoes off.
Correct.
Yeah.
You got how much screen time you want.
So they do the
fight, and Timothy Chalamet, Paul wins.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I like that he stops twice, and Javier Bardem's like, what is he doing?
Do you yield?
Do you yield? And they're just like,
there's no yielding in
what
this.
Kill him. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And Rebecca Ferguson's
no
like,
there's no yielding in Dune duels.
Yielding in Dune. I do like that Rebecca Ferguson's like, he's never killed anybody before. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
That's about to change.
And then he kills him. Yeah. It was a good move. Like, it wasn't a dastardly move. It was the guy lunged and Timothy Chalamet took the shot and
did the gut
and,
disemboweled him or whatever. He just.
And then I guess that they gave Rebecca Ferguson, what is her name? Jessica and Paul the option to leave. And Jessica was like, yeah, we're going to bounce.
Well, Jessica.
Yeah, she wants to go. She wants to
leave.
Go back to the home planet.
Right.
How she was going to get there. I don't know.
And Paul was like, no, we're going to stick this out.
But
we're going to fight with them.
Paul sees these visions and he's come to realize that what he's seeing is his destiny, if you will. Like he sees this is
a hero's journey
is, with these
if you
people.
Will.
Well, he knows that he has a future with these people, and we see him on the battlefield, and it's really cool. The one big battle sequence you get is one of those forward sequences, and you see the two armies. It's like the Emperor's army, which the Harkonnens enlist to help them.
And they're all wearing white. Isn't that interesting? Like a bunch of stormtroopers.
And it's the Harkonnen or the Emperor army versus the Fremen. And you see this warrior who's really badass and you're not sure who it is. And he flips over some people, does some cool moves.
Yeah.
His visor comes down. It's Paul with blue eyes.
And they use that in the trailer. That's where I was confused on where this movie was going to end.
Right.
You know,
so
I thought we're going to get at least into him leading them into battle. And
so that's a
like
real
that.
Battle at the end of the first book.
Or within it. It's, within yeah, the first yeah. book. When okay. he, 'cause he's with them for long enough, yeah, that's yeah. why his eyes turn blue.
Gotcha. So
I think this is... I'm shocked that they didn't greenlight part two. The way they leave this, I was like, we'll just get part two next year.
But to their credit, though, in the first 5 minutes of the movie or whatever, it's like Dune, part
it,
one.
It does say part
they
one.
They don't bait and switch you. Like, you know you're watching a part one.
You don't get Hunger Games part four.
But there's a big difference between this and, say, remember how they split it?
Yeah.
It part one, you could just watch that part one and never watch it again and be fine.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
You might be better for it.
You're absolutely correct.
That's the better part.
Yeah, and it kind of settles itself by the end. You know, everything kind of wraps up for the most part. This does not.
There's no closure. That's
there's
the problem.
There's absolutely no closure.
When I left the theater, that's what I said to people. You know, how'd you like it? I'm like, I loved it. I was enthralled by it. I loved it. But my biggest complaint is, like, it's half a movie. It's a great half a movie. But, you know, the more that I let that sit with me, I'm like, you know what, though? But if I'm going for 2.5 hours and seeing these amazing sci-fi visuals, these brilliant performances, you know, I was in it. I had a great time. Like, it still was a very satisfying experience. But my one complaint is, to its credit, it's so good. You want more. Like, you're hooked. And
I don't know if I wanted more or as much. I just wanted to know what the ending of this, like, where are we going?
Well, that's
right. That's kind of
potato potato.
Sure,
I'm just saying
you
want more. It's so you're like you're not like, oh, well, I won't see part two. It sucked. Like, right.
That's
you
fair.
Want more. Like,
that's what was that? Know? The oh, God damn it. It was the one that we
Fast and Furious.
No, because I've given up on those. But it was like wasn't. Oh, what was the Shailene Woodley one that they did
so
not?
Oh,
where they were just like, we're done. Like,
yeah.
That's, you know,
I
like,
was so mad at the end of that because I didn't realize that they. I thought it was a 3-movie thing.
Yeah.
And when it ended and they set up for a 4th movie, I was like, I thought we were done.
But that was remember that was and in vogue for a while that the final movie of any of these things they're going to split into two.
Well, that was the Harry Potter
thing. And Twilight and a couple others did
and
that.
And then they didn't and then they ended up not making it. I was like,
right.
Thank God.
I'm going to throw myself out there for ridicule. I actually liked the first Divergent movie.
I thought the first one wasn't bad.
Yeah, I didn't, but I never watched the other ones. I never felt the need to watch the other ones.
You're fine. Yeah. But yeah, I think that I do think that this is an amazing looking movie. I also watched this twice. I did it in IMAX, which I think is probably the best way to watch this. I also watched it at home. If you've got a really good setup, I think it's totally fine. You need to see, if you're going to see this, do it in the theater.
If you feel comfortable, but if you don't just watch it. Like, yeah, a lot of people can only see this on the theater. And
I'm definitely not that guy.
Yeah, you know how I watched Star Wars for the first time? On a VHS on a 19-inch TV, and I love it.
Do you have any idea how many movies...
You mean you didn't see it in the theater before you were born?
Right. But Star Wars,
Back to the Future, all that stuff, I watched on a tiny little TV.
But you know, movies don't play forever in theaters. Right, so you're saying in a year from now, whoever's too late to watch in theaters should never watch Dune? I mean, again, this is incredible on the big screen, and I think all movies are better if you can see them that way. But to count it out, we've got a whole lifetime of movies we've watched on home video for the first time, and we've loved. So
that's how I saw Batman.
Yeah, I mean, so see it if you can, and it's 100% worth it and better than at home. But if you feel safe, I mean, if you watch it on HBO Max,
do it
and give it the stream, because we need part two. So the more people watch it on HBO Max, the more likely it will get greenlit.
That's true. Yeah.
If it really hasn't already, which I think it has, but they want those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really hope it does. I think then again, I find this weird, because now you've got to get everybody line up again. You have to have all these.
That's a good point.
Well, the sets are one thing, but getting all the cast together, because they're out making other movies. You know, right. He's doing his Wonka thing. You know, I'm sure
she's got Spider-Man's done.
Right. So yeah. Half these other people have. So you've got to wait for all of them to get done with their projects. And you know, I hate to bring up stuff like this, but well, let's just say they made this movie 6 years ago, and Armie Hammer was in it. You know, what do you do when you got to make the sequel and you're like, well, he's not really bankable. So
I know that's tough. Well, hopefully,
let's hope nothing like that happens with somebody.
Not our
cast,
Timmy,
but
not Timmy. Would not, yeah,
of course
anything.
Not. But can I mention one thing
you
at
can
the
mention
end?
Anything you
one
want.
Thing at the end that made me laugh.
What's that?
And not in a good way laugh. Oh. But one of the things in the stories that's really awe-inspiring to see is how these Fremen ride these giant sandworms.
Yeah.
Well, they never really show it in the movie, you know, and they never really get around to it. So at the very end, they decide to just show one riding a sandworm in the distance, you know, like, whee!
Yeah.
He,
like
might
surfing.
Well be, yeah. He might as well be doing the hang loose thing.
Should have been Jason Momoa.
Yeah, I had to laugh when I saw it. I was just like, that's just ridiculous.
That's funny. To me, not knowing the material as well and not even thinking about them riding a sandworm, it didn't stick out to me, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying to like the outsiders, I didn't watch it and go, well, that was ridiculous.
It just felt like they had to jam
Yeah,
in
you
like,
know
oh, yeah.
more about
yeah,
they
well,
do
just
that.
It felt to
so
me like they're like, oh, we forgot to show somebody riding the sandworm. Quick, throw that in the background. Have the guy cruising by. He's going to go get milk and he's coming back.
Yeah.
It's like in Heat when they were like, oh, crap,
we
never put De Niro and Pacino in the same scene together.
Whoops.
Let's cut and paste a scene from a TV show nobody remembers.
Hey, Mike, what do you got on tap for us? Oh, I got this thing, I guess. We'll try that.
They did that on Caddyshack as well.
What?
They realized that they never put Bill Murray and Chevy Chase in a scene together, so they had to call them back to film the scene.
Which was actually one of the best scenes, or funny scenes.
And and it's the first time they had interacted since the fist fight.
Oh, wow.
SNL.
Yeah.
Where Bill Murray calls him a medium talent.
Yeah.
Which was an insult that was recycled on the season finale of Ted Lasso.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, wow.
He's a medium talent.
That's
and
funny.
I was just like, oh, somebody knows their SNL history.
I think that's the main character of that show.
So we should say the Baron, in that scene where Duke Leto uses the poison capsule, he kills a lot of the Harkonnens and they close up that chamber. They later find the Baron up on the ceiling.
Yeah.
It looked like a balloon at a kid's
party that got it loose. And
like Lionel Richie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I didn't think he was dancing, but he's holding on for dear life. So he's like in the back to tank.
Throw him in a mud bath.
And back to tank.
It is a back
repairing,
to tank, yeah.
And what's his face comes in and
we
is
have
like,
back to back.
Batista's like, Uncle.
I'm telling you.
What's going on?
He may not. He doesn't need to be the best. He's like, can I just have the roles of the biggest movies coming out this year?
But we get
two movies in a row with mud baths.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
And bagpipes.
That's right.
But we get creepy, another creepy imagery of Stellan Skarsgård coming out of
the
mud pit.
Oh, so gross. Oh,
yeah. And he's just like, yeah, do your thing, and then goes back in sinister.
And again, just because he's a villain amongst villains, that's his plan. Is like, I've got two nephews. this guy's a brute. I'm going to have him go out there and just mess things up. And I'll bring in the other nephew, and everybody will like him just because he's not chopping off heads.
Yeah.
You know? So. Okay.
And I hope he wears that the underwear and has spiky hair, like Sting.
Oh,
Sting,
oh, yeah. The cod piece.
God, give that guy, make that guy Constantine. Just
Who's
do a
thing.
Yes. He's
too old.
No, he's not.
Yes,
he's old. No. Constantine is old.
Oh, yeah.
Do it. HBO Max. Make it
so
happen.
So is that it?
Yeah.
Are we done with the movie?
We're done with the movie.
I don't know. Yeah. The way it stops, I don't know. I don't know if we're done.
Just like
or not.
Just like the movie.
Tell.
We're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for.
I don't know. I'm really curious how that's going to, you know, react with audiences. They're going to say, wait a minute, what happened? You know?
I think, so many of them are watching it at home. That it won't be as jarring.
Yeah.
Like it'll just be like, well, that's how TV works now. You
that's
know?
True.
Yeah.
And I think that.
But then they're going to be tuning in next week when they know when it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the next one?
Yeah.
But it's not also like it in. Like, I know it doesn't have like your traditional like Shakespearean plot diagram of like rising action, falling action, but it's also not so intricately plotted that you're just. I didn't feel like. They left me hanging.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
I just felt like, well, it's okay.
That's...
He joins the Fremen. He survives. He and his mother survive. You know, like I feel like there's enough things to where they kind of win the day.
Yeah, if they weren't already telling you there's going to be a part two, and I know they haven't greenlit it, but like if this was just a movie that lived on its own, and you didn't know that there were 95 books, and
sure,
and, you know, you might walk out being like, yeah. But in today's world, everything has sequels.
There's always a sequel, whether it does or doesn't.
Even
it's
movies
going
that
to get
tank
a
have sequels.
Yeah, right, right.
I agree. I think it's if it weren't a better, like if it weren't as well made of a movie, you might be more mad. But the experience, you got 2.5 hours of. You know, sci-fi visual feast, and
plus I had to pee again, so I really wasn't mad. It was over. I was like, okay. I mean, I don't know that makes a whole lot of sense, but I got to pee. Yeah. So
I think they should have made this a 4-hour movie and told the whole story and give everybody still suits like what they wear in the thing.
Yeah,
or just
with purchase.
You don't have to leave your seat.
Just start wearing diapers to movies like I'm a rogue astronaut.
Some Waterworld.
There's some cool. There'll
be Waterworld.
There's some cool tech. I mean, we didn't get into it because
the
time.
The suits I think
cool
are pretty
tech.
Cool.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like the wasp. Ship
Dragonfly.
I thought those were really cool.
But anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Matt, where can they find you and your wares?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, MATTREEDY219. And that's it.
Okay. You can also find him in the League of Show Shares.
Oh, there we go.
He posts all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've got nothing else to do.
He's like our norm.
He is our norm.
So, and you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you just a little bit more. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Bert and Heather have an armory. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.